Okay, Tom, welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yomi. We're now on the Ketubot, Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, at the third Mishnah in the 10th Perek. And as you can see from the text, today's Shiur is relatively short. However, we are going to look at two selections from the Rambam, one from his Perush Mishnayot, and one from the Mishneh Torah in Hilchot Ishut, which we will do after studying the Gemara, first things first, and we will see the Halacha L'Maaseh. Misha and Asui Shalosh Nashumet. Up until now, we've been dealing with the circumstance of a man married to two women. In one case, only one predeceased him. In the other case, both predeceased him, and then he died. And how do we deal with Yerusha? In what case is Banim Dichrin effectuated? And now, a man is married to three women. And the problem here is not Banim Dichrin, but rather, it is a circumstance where he dies first, and they have a different amount of value on their ketubah. For ease, we will call them wife A, ketubah 100, wife B, ketubah 200, wife C, ketubah 300, and we have to note, as I put in the page, that the ketubot were all written on the same day or all have the same date on them, or they're all coming to collect from the Taltalin where there is no precedence based on timing, because otherwise, if it's karka and one is earlier, it's very clear that the earliest claimant will collect fully, and then later claimants will come to divide what's left. That's not the case here. We'll see how it's divided. The scenario that I outlined. First case, there's only 100 there. Chokin v'shaveh, they each get 33 and a third, and that's quite easy. They all have an equal claim on the 100, and therefore they're divided equally. What is perhaps not intuitive is we don't say that the total amounts here really promised are 600, and so you would say that the one that A really only has a 1/6 interest, the other has a half interest, a third interest, the other has a half interest. We don't say that because they all have an equal interest in one manet, therefore they're divided equally. Okay, Hayusha Matayim. Now it gets trickier. There's a total of 200 in the estate, which means A has no claim on half of this. Shel manet notal chamishim. A gets 50. B and C each get 75. We'll look at that in detail in a moment. If there was a total of 300, A gets 50, B gets 100, C gets 150. And we'll take a look at that again. The same is true if three people invested together. If their, at this point, the way we'll read it, if their investment appreciates or depreciates, the divide based on the same lines as outlined here in the Mishnah. They start with whatever each of us has a common interest, a legitimate claim to, we divide equally. And then that, the one who, when we get to a higher amount, the one who no longer has a claim, we then divide among the rest of the people. However, we'll see that it's not so simple. Now, the first thing the Gemara addresses is case 2, where there's 200. Shamaneno tal chamishim. In that case, A gets 50. Why tlatin tlata matilta hudidlo? Why should she get 50? She only should get 33 and a third, because after all, she only has a claim on 100 that she shares with the other two. So they should divide that 100 three equal ways, and then she should be gone. Why does she get 50? Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel gives one of two takes on this. We'll follow Shmuel for a while. Kotevet balat matayim balat manet. B, on only B, wrote a note to A, a legal note, saying, Dinu dvarim enli mach b'manet. I am not going to go do battle with you about this 100. I'm excusing myself from this 100. You and I are friends. I don't want to get in the middle of it. Ihachi, so if that's the case, then what happens before we go to the Ihachi? If that's the case, then that means that for the first 100, A and C alone are contesting it. They're divided equally. She gets 50, and then A is gone. So if that's the case, though, then that means that A has no claim on the first 100, which means that A and C should equally divide the second 100, and then C should collect the rest of the first 100. So C should get 100, and B should get 50, and instead we said they both get 75. B and C both get 75. Taymola, why doesn't C say to B, Hasalkat nafshachmina, you already took yourself out of the running for A. And therefore, you have no claim on A, and on the first 100. A took half of it, I take the other half, and we'll divide the second 100 equally. The answer is, Shum damrala, midyun dvarimu dislik inafshoi. B says to C, I didn't take myself out of the running of interest in the first 100, I just took myself out of litigation with A. She's my friend. I don't want to deal with her. However, I still have an interest in A. And so therefore, when you and I come to discuss the 150 that's left over, we divide that equally, 75-75. Good. Hayusham Shlosh Miot, the last case of the Ketubah issues, when there's 300 total. What do we say? Shamatayim Maneh. Everybody gets exactly half. 50, 100, 150. Now, why does the one who has a Ketubah of 200, why does she get 100? Shivim Mechamisha Udidla. She should really only have 75. Because after all, she took herself, according to what we said, out of the running for the first 100. So she only is now discussing the other 200. She has no claim on the third 100 at all, because she only has a ketubah of 100. So therefore, she's really discussing 150 with C. And therefore, she should divide that equally and get 75. And C should then be able to come and get 175. Why is she getting 100 and the other one 150? Again, we have to come with something of a stretch to came to here. Shmuel says that the cases where C wrote to both B and A, I'm not going to deal with you at all about the first 100. The first 100, you guys divide equally. So what happens? A and B equally divide the first 100. All right, so A is gone. B now has 50. And there's now another 200 deal with. B and C are dealing with that 200. But the second 200, there's nothing for them to discuss. The last 100, that's only C's. And so for the middle 100, they divide it equally. So therefore, B gets 50 plus 50, and C gets 100 plus 50, and everything works out fine. That's Shmuel's take. Rabbi Yaakov has a whole different take. It does not involve the women cooperating or making these concessions to each other, but rather a different kind of mitziyut. Rav Yaakov in Harpkod Mishmei de Ravina Amar Reisha b'shtei tfisot v'seifa b'shtei tfisot. What happened simply is that there was no money in the estate, and then suddenly there was a small windfall of money that came into the estate, and they all went to divide it. What happened? That these windfalls both happened in both cases. In two stages. Reisha b'shtei tfisot naflu 75 v'chad zimna, 125 v'chad zimna. In the second case in the Mishnah, what happened was first 75 came down, and of course that 75 everybody has an equal interest in, so they divided it equally, they all have 25, and then 125 came down. So now, of the 125, the A only has a claim on 75 of it, because she already got 25. So within the 75, she divides equally. She gets 25, she's gone, she got 50. There's now, 100 left. In that 75, they each divided it equally. So they each now have 100. The A got 50, she's gone. B gets, now has 100. And now she's gone because that's all there is of the 200. And then C collects the rest. Let me correct that. In the second case, what happened was that 75 fell, everybody got 25 equally. And then 125 fell, so of the first 75 of that, they again divided equally. A gets 50, she's finished now. Everybody else has 50, but there's another 50 there, and so the B and C divided equally, and they each got 75. Okay. Now, in the third case, Denaflu 75 b'chad zimna, 225 b'chad zimna. Just do that and add another 100 to it. Right? And then just play it out, and you'll see that it works out fine, that A gets 50, B gets 100, and C ends up with 150. Now, Tanya, we have a bright that says, Zu Mishnat Rabbi Natan. This entire Mishnah and all of the development is all based on Rabbi Natan's teachings. Rabbi Omer, Ein Ani Roe Dvarav Rabbi Natan Be'elu. He says, in this case, I do not agree with Rabbi Natan. Halachokot B'Shaveh. Rather, in such a case, they divide equally. Now, we'll see in the Rambam, in a couple of moments, that Chokot B'Shaveh, only under certain circumstances, we'll see what they are. Which means that in our case, you would not have this very convoluted division, but rather you would say that if there are, let's say, 300 Again, A has a cube of 100, B has a cube of 200, C has a cube of 300, and 300 fall that each one of them gets 100. They divide equally. We'll see how far that'll go. The Mishnah then made an analogy and said the same thing is true if three people go into a joint economic venture, that if the money goes up, money goes down, they divide equally. Amar Shmuel, Shnaim Shitilu Laki. Shmuel says something different. If two people invest together, Zema Neva Zema Taim. One puts in 100, the other puts in 200. Hasachar La'emtza. The profit is still divided equally. Now, there's two approaches to understanding Shmuel. Amar Rabba, Mistabra Milta to Shmuel. I think Shmuel's reasoning is sound. Beshor L'Charisha V'Omen L'Charisha. If they invested together in some oxen for plowing, and they're still plowing, and now we're reaping, sorry for the pun, benefits from that plowing, then that those benefits should be divided equally. And the reason for that is that you cannot divide the ox up. You need the entire ox. So even though I contributed a small part and you contributed a larger part, nonetheless, all the parts are necessary in order to make this thing happen. And the plowing brings particular benefits for this season. We made $10,000 by renting him out to plow or whatever. That's profit to equally share. Aval, b'shor l'charish v'on l'tzvicha, but let's say that they bought an ox for plowing, and then he ended up appreciating, and ended up being worth selling as meat, then, zenotel a female tav, then everybody gets a profit based on the percentage of their investment. So if one guy gave 200, the other guy gave 100, and the profit now is $10,000, and is a total of $10,000, one of them should get 6,600, the other guy should get 3,300 and change. Because now what's being sold is the parts, and based on parts, that's how we would divide it up. That's Rabba. Rav Hamnuna Amar, Afilu Shor L'Charish V'Omen L'Tzvicha. Rav Hamnuna said we would even take Shmuel's position and extend it to a case where the ox was originally bought for plowing, and now it's being used for meat. Hasachar La'emtza, it's equal. Now, Meitave will challenge Rabba. Shnaim shetilu l'kis, manev zematayim, hasachar la'emtza. We have the statement of Shmuel. My love is shor l'charish v'omid l'tficha. Isn't that talking about in any case? It didn't stipulate how things play out. Any case where people invest, even though they invest a dissimilar amount, nonetheless the profit is equal. T'yuvta to Rabba. So, lo, shor l'charish v'omid l'charisha. That's only talking about a case where it was bought for plowing. In other words, it was a venture in which the money was put into one single unit that must remain whole for it to bring any profit, and it continues to be that way. It can be an apartment building also. Aval shor l'charish v'omid l'tficha, but what would you do, Rabba would answer, in a case where two people invested together and now the profits are able to be divided physically in parts that are measurable and can be rationed out. So Rabbi would answer, in such a case, you really take based on the percentage of your investment. Adatani Seifas, if that's the case, look at the Seifa. Akach Zeb Bishalov Zeb Bishalov Nita Arvu. Let's say each guy bought an ox separately, and they then joined together as a team. Zenotel Fimotav. Then they really take based on what they invested. I bought an ox for $10,000, a great, strong ox. You bought a Nebuch, an ox for $200. He's not able to plow very much. And now we profit $5,000 this season, so certainly I should get far more than you because my ox that I bought plowed far more successfully and did far more work than yours did. So if that's the case, then the Seifa should say, Leaflug Valit Nividideh, it should have said, Mamedzma Mom Shah Kharish from the Kharisha. It should have said that this is only if you bought the ox for plowing, and it's still plowing. But if you bought it for plowing and now you're going to shecht it because it's appreciated, so Rabba, why doesn't the Seifa say that? Why doesn't the Seifa say, if you bring them in independently, then you divide the Fima Otav? But if you just put the money in, then you divide equally, according to you, Rabba should say, that's only if it's still being used for plowing. So, Achanami Kamar, Rabba will say, that's what the Brite is trying to say. Medvar, Mori Mishor L'Charisha V'Omid L'Charisha. It's only if you bought it for plowing and it's still plowing. Havashor L'Charisha V'Omid L'Tvicha, but if you bought it for plowing and it now is being used for meat, Nasa kemisha lakach zebeshalov intavu. That's parallel to a case where each guy brought his own ox in, and then they worked together. Zenotalofimaltav. And as Rabba will say, that the assumption of the first half of the case is that if they zenomatayim zemaneh is talking about where you bought something, you put money in together to buy a single unit. It remains a single unit, and the profits only work if that entire unit is there and are not divisible. But if you brought them in separately, it's just like if the capital that you purchased then becomes divisible, and then it's going to go based on your percentage and interest in the investment. Now, Tanan, let's look at Shmuel's statement against our Mishnah. So you've got three guys who went in a joint venture, Pichato, Tiru, Kachin, Cholkin, the capital appreciates or depreciates, they divide based on their investment, based on their interest. My love, pichatu pichatu mamash or tiru tiru mamash. Doesn't that mean that the value of their investment really went up or really went down? In which case, it would be a challenge against Shmuel. Nachman Rav Avua, lo hotiru zuzichadati pichatu istiru detzunita. It just means that the coins that they invested suddenly either became, they were able to change them for newer coins, or it means that the coins became old and rusted. In other words, pichatu votiru here does not mean that the actual value of the investment went up, which would then be a challenge to Shmuel, but it just means that the coinage which they used has become more usable or less usable. They still divide based on what they put in, because they put in coins, they take out coins. But if there's a profit or a depreciation, they all either succeed or fail equally, which of course means the guy who invests a little is doing better in that he has less to lose and he has more to gain. That is, if somebody invests 100, when everybody else is investing more and they accept him as an equal partner here, then if there's profits, he shares the profits equally. And if there's losses, then he takes the losses equally, but of course that means that he's lost less because he invested less. Okay, that's the sugya. Now, as promised, we're going to take a look at the Rambam, and the Rambam is found on the handout at the bottom of the page. First, the Perusha Mishnayot. So the Rambam, look about three lines down, to look at the third line. V'yamru hayusham matayim. So he quotes the Mishnah. Hayusham shlosh miot kvar amru b'talmud sh'rabbeinu ha-kadosh amar af elu cholkin b'shaveh. So he quotes the Gemara that we saw, where it says that Rebbe disagreed and said we divide equally. V'chein halacha. The Rambam says that is the halacha. Tzarech shetitponen b'yesod zeh. This is not the usual style of the Rambam to give such a long explanation in the Mishnah, but he says this is a foundation that you have to really think about. This is always how creditors and women who are claiming the ktubah will divide things. And listen carefully. I'll give you an example with creditors. Use the same example for ktubot. Let's say the guy left a large estate and a lot of creditors. And then we have to divide it up. Ro'im et kol chovotehem, et kol mashiniach, we take a look at all of the debts and everything that he left, as follows. Imayak eneged kol chovotehem, first of all, if there's enough in the estate to pay off all the debts, that's easy. Ha'kol achad lokeach, mashu chayav lo b'zeh pashut. Everybody comes and collects what their claim is, and that's easy. Imayak pachot, but let's say that the entire estate was worth less than the sum total of all of the debts. If we were to divide all of the properties equally among all the claimants, then the one who has the smallest claim will only get his amount or less. So for instance, if you have $1,000 worth of property, and you have three claimants, one who has a claim of 500, one who has a claim of 750, one who has a claim of 1,000, then if you divide it equally, each guy is going to get 333. 333 is not as much as the lowest claimant, which means you divide it equally. Even though their claims are not of the same amount, nobody is getting more than the amount that they really have a right to. But if by dividing equally, the least Baal Chov will get more than his amount, Hamagielo. So for instance, let's say the value of the property was 2,000, and you had a 500, a 750, and a 1,000, and you divide it equally, everybody's going to get 666, which means the first guy's getting more than he really has a claim to. Motziimo to hayater. So here's what you do. You first pay the guy his small amount. And then you divide the rest equally. So in that case, you would give the guy 500. You now have a guy who has a claim of 750 and a guy who has a claim of 1,000, disputing over 1,500. And so you divide it equally. Each gets 750. Good. So you give the lowest, the one who has the least, his full amount, and he's out. Then you go back to the surplus, in our case the 1,500. Then you do the same process. You do that until the estate is liquidated. So that would play out in our Mishnah as follows, but not the way the Mishnah rules, because we're ruling like Rabbi. We got these three women with the ketubot. 100, 200, 300. And the guy left 300 or less, they'll always divide equally. Because, after all, that means this one with the smallest ketubah, A, won't get more than her 100. She'll get 100 or she'll get less. Miniach arbamil, let's say he left 400. Chokot shloshmiot b'shavet, you take the first 300, divide them equally, each gets 100. Stalaket balat haman elegamre, A is then gone. V'yotah me'ah yitra, yitera, mitchalak ben balat ha-matayim balat ha-shloshmiot b'shavet. And then the fourth 100 is divided equally between B and C, and so effectively each of them gets 150. Let's say there was 500 left. You divide the 300 equally, each gets 100. A is gone. Matayim chokot ota balat matayim balat shloshmiot. The other 200 divided equally. So A and B got their full ketubah. Hashlishit kibla rak matayim. The third one only got 200 out of her 300. The same will be true if you have a lot of creditors. Amru v'chein shlosha shitil akis, what they said at the end of the Mishnah about the joint venture. Musav al abava achrona shemachalkin b'neim arevach v'efsei l'fi yachas ma sheish l'chol achad mehem b'keren. Okay? So, the Rambam then commenting on this, is instructive to see, says that the division of the vow of the profit is based on what they invested. When is this true? When the original investment was still there. So for instance, the coins have changed. Or the value of the coins have gone up. Or it's gone down. Then you divide based on what you invested. So in other words, I put in 100, you put in 200, you put in 300. And then the value of the dollar has gone up. Or we put in gold coins and they've gone up or gone down. Then we divide based on what you put in. Let's say that we all bought something together. And we gained or we lost. Then we divide equally. We don't take a look. We don't look to see how much each one invested in the original amount. Etc. etc. Good. So that is the Rambam's ruling, and he says v'hu psak achrona gaonim, and he also attributes this evidently to Rav Haigon as being the final ruling. Now, if you look at the bottom box in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says as follows in Hilchot Ishut: Mishemeto shogiresh v'yesh lo nashim rabot. A man died or divorced, and he has a bunch of wives. V'in sham din k'dima, and for some reason, one of them does not have a precedence over the other based on dating of the ketubah, and there's not enough in the estate to take care of all the ketubot. Ketzad en chokot, how do you divide? Roim im kshiyachalek amon al minyan hanashim yagil lepchutash ben kedei ketubah ta'o pachot. If you were to divide it equally based on how many women and wives there are, the one with the smallest ketubah will get only her amount or less, chokot peshaveh. And then the Rambam goes on from there, so you can see in the Mishnah Torah that he lays it out exactly as he did in the Perush HaMishnayot. Tov, so we have successfully taken a look at this short but very knotty sugya and untied the knots, hopefully. And Amir Tzashem, in the next podcast, we will pick up at the Sugya on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Bet, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Sui Arba Nashim. Everyone should have a wonderful day.